This weekend retreat at Our Lady of Good Counsel Retreat House, Waverly, Nebraska, was given by Bishop Robert Finn for catechists and teachers on the topic Baptize, Teach, and Know That I Am With You. These and other recordings are available at our website, goodcounselretreat.com.
For the last couple of weeks, the readings that we have heard at Holy Mass have often centered upon the signs of the end time, the day of the Lord, the final judgment, the final end of the world. And in part because the church's liturgical year is now coming to a close, will conclude tomorrow. And of course, we just had the Feast of Christ the King, which falls for us at the last Sunday of the church's liturgical year. And then Sunday, this coming, will be the first Sunday of Advent and a new liturgical season. And so the church, while on the one hand reminding us to prepare for the coming of the Lord at Christmas, also invites us to prepare for the coming of the Lord at the end of time in the final judgment, in our particular judgment. And it must be said that the many of the images of these apocalyptic texts are rather sobering about beasts and that are dispatched to devour much flesh and to wreak havoc on the earth. And in a sense, they are the harbingers of divine justice, the day of the Lord. We have to read them certainly with reflection and a sense of conversion and repentance in our life. We have to read them with the determination to ready ourselves for the coming of the Lord. But the gospel today also speaks about the coming of the kingdom, but it uses different imagery. It uses the image of the fig tree and the other trees at springtime, heavy with buds and ready to blossom and burst forth with fragrance and fruit. And so these are beautiful, hope-filled signs that the early Christians certainly must have cherished, particularly in the midst of persecution, when they had been undergoing so many trials and sufferings for their faith. But now the image of Christ coming was the springtime, the new beginning, a new birth. The Alleluia verse that we heard from Luke's gospel says, "Stand erect and raise your heads, because your redemption is at hand." And so for us, when we have readied our hearts, when we have come to respond as best we can with God's grace to the call to conversion and repentance in our life, then we can stand before the Lord, trusting in the mercy that we've already received in the sacrament of confession, trusting that the new life which accompanies the Lord will be bestowed upon us. Now I want to say something about the retreat. You received some materials with some hints and suggestions about how to make a good retreat. I think they were wonderful, and I hope that you had a chance to review them and make some good resolutions about how you will use this time. I want to emphasize particularly, I suppose, the silence. I would say enjoy the silence. Perhaps you have many different things that tug at you and require your attention and people as well. If you have to take a phone call, that's your responsibilities. But how wonderful would it be if we could leave some of that call of the world behind us during these days? Perhaps not doing the social media or checking on all the latest blogs or whatever happened to be. Cardinal Robert Sarah, the congregation prefect for the Congregation of Divine Worship in Rome, wrote a book recently on silence, and he talks about the silence, the noise of the culture, not necessarily always measured in decibels, but in a kind of a huge avalanche of information and so forth. So we want to, I want to encourage you to have that a little bit of a withdrawal from the world and its noise, if you will. And then, how else? What else can we do to make a good retreat? And I was thinking of something I learned a long time ago, and it was in a course when I was preparing the last couple of years before ordination. It was taught by a Father Jordan Allman, who was an American Dominican. He died a number of years ago, in 90-something, I believe. And but he taught the course 40-something years ago, and it was on spiritual theology. And he gave a definition for a particular type of prayer, for discursive meditation. And he says, so what, and discursive meditation is that sort of that beginning of mental prayer where we reflect on a scripture or something like that and so forth. So what is this discursive meditation? He says, well, it is the a reasoned application of the mind to some supernatural truth or mystery of the faith in order to penetrate its meaning, to love it, and to make resolutions to put it into practice more fully in our life. And although that's the definition of discursive meditation, I thought that perhaps it had an application for the retreat as well. What could we do on the retreat? Well, in some ways, particularly as I address you as catechists and that, there's going to be some reasoned, I hope it's reasonable, application of the mind to the supernatural mysteries and supernatural truths and the mysteries of the faith. And it gives us an opportunity to penetrate their meaning. But the second one is always the curious one. And Father Allman had a rather dramatic flair to his teaching, which I don't necessarily, but he would say, in order to penetrate its meaning and to love it, didn't mean to scare you or anything, but that's more or less the emphasis with which he would say this, and then to put some resolutions into effect. I hope that the retreat will give you time to love. You already love Almighty God. But you see, that's never exhausted. Just like you love your family members, but there is joy, there is grace in loving, you see, in taking the moments of love. And so, yes, do some thinking, do some reflecting, do some meditating on the truths of the faith in order to come to a greater understanding of them for ourselves with the help of and light of the Holy Spirit. But take also time just to love God, to love those mysteries, those supernatural realities which are so real, so profound, and you see, it's hard to describe how to do that, but I think you know what I mean. Come Holy Spirit, but take time just to be with our Lord and to love Him, which in the letter of John, John tells us that the love of God is this, that He first loved us. So take stock of the love that He has for you, but to love Him. And then, of course, it's good when you make a retreat to have a few little resolutions at the end. Not 10, not probably not 5, maybe 2, maybe 3, maybe 1. And so I think that that's one possible way, many other ways, one possible way that I hope that the retreat will bear fruit. I've been praying for you. I know some of the sisters where I live have been praying for the retreat. I asked them to pray for me, but I asked them to pray for you too. And I hope that it will prepare us for that springtime whereby we meet the King, the Lord of our life.